Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Our next guest says that you can learn a whole lot about someone from digging through their handbag. But like, when would you actually have an excuse to do that in a socially appropriate way? Lindsay Stanbury does. She is a freelance writer, editor, content strategist, and founder of The Purse, a site dedicated to women and personal finance. She's also running this In Her Purse series, which I think is fascinating. She joins us now from Brooklyn, New York. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, Bruce. So nice to be here today.
Why did you decide to start The Purse, and in particular, this series that we're going to talk about, In Her Purse?
Yeah, I started The Purse last summer. I've worked in journalism for a long time and have run a few different personal finance websites. But I was sort of feeling like there wasn't any great site out there talking to sort of women in their middle age about their finances. You know, it was like really basic information about like saving up for an emergency fund or why should you have a 401k? But I felt like women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, had a lot more bigger money issues that needed to be addressed. And so that was the idea behind The Purse. And then I started In Her Purse, which is a series where I talk to women and go through their handbags, because I knew a lot of really interesting women and I wanted to figure out how to feature them in kind of a casual and fun way and get a little sense of their personality. And like you said, it's not usually socially acceptable to dig through someone's handbag, but it can be kind of interesting when you do. So it felt like a fun way to get more women's stories told on The Purse.
How did your subjects receive this request? Were they like, oh yeah, totally? Or did they say, okay, I'm willing, but I need to edit the contents first?
So there may definitely be some editing that goes on. The first one we ran, one of the comments was like, how does this person not have any like lint and dirty mints and crumpled receipts? And so I do think to some extent, it's a little bit cleaned up.
Right.
They were excited. The first woman I featured was Heather Bonaparte, who is, you know, one of those wonderful internet friends. Like we found each other serendipitously and she's just really fun. And she's working on a book about couples and money, which I think is really interesting. And she was really excited to open up her purse. And she had just been to the theater with her daughter and that had been a really special experience that she was still carrying around the Wicked playbill, which I think, you know, is like a perfect example of the things we carry in our purse.
What are some things that have surprised you? And as a man purse has three things in it: my wallet, my glasses, and my phone. My
yes.
best friend, who's a female, carries steel chopsticks in her purse.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great, but I can't even imagine it. What are some things that people have hauled out that you've been like, what?
Yeah, I had a friend when she was potty training her toddler and she pulled out a pair of training undies, a backup pair, which I think sums up motherhood in many ways. I used to always find my son when he was younger was a really big Hot Wheels fan. And so I always had Hot Wheels in my purse, inevitably. One thing that Heather mentioned on hers, she had these really funky keychains that that had some sayings on them that were important to her, that she had left over from her corporate lawyer days. Mm. And I think that they're, you know, purses are very utilitarian, but at the same time, they often are a reflection of our, like, our personality and our style. And so I think it's often fun to see those kind of little details that mean a lot to you personally, but wouldn't necessarily send a big message to the outside world.
I don't want to stretch too far here, but what are some things that you learn or even the subject can learn about the relationship to money based on what they haul around all the time? And my hypothesis would be that someone who has a purse that has like an item for every eventuality might have a strong orientation towards security and therefore, yeah. I don't know, hide $20 bills in the bread box.
Yeah, I think that there probably is some correlation that you can draw there. And I think, you know, when you think about moms versus non-moms. I have a friend and I was like, I really would love to feature you. And she's like, Lindsay, I haven't carried a handbag in years. And she's single and is very busy with her business.
She's got a phone with a credit card on it.
She's got a phone with a credit card on it and she's ready to go. And I'm like, not even like a cute little, like, you know, when you're going out, come on. And I also think there's this writer, financial expert, Manish Tokor, and I've been reading her book, Money's In, and in it, yeah. She talks about her handbag collection and how that was a really big thing for her when she was in corporate finance. And I think the quality of the handbag also has a lot to do with a person and like what they value. It's funny, when I left my job last summer to go freelance, I had this backpack that I carried for years that I hated it. Mm. And when I finished the job, I was like, I'm done. I am selling this backpack on Poshmark. It is cursed. Enough. Mm-hmm. So we attach a lot of sentimentality to these bags that we carry everywhere. Mm.
There is something really powerful about looking at personal finance through the gender lens. There's, you know, some pros and cons to thinking about it in that way, but I think mostly pros. What are some things that you have learned over the course of the last couple of years that really resonate for women in a way that they might not resonate for men?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a lot of challenges, you know, we start behind men. There's a gender wage gap when we have children. There's a motherhood penalty. There's a retirement gap. There's an investment gap. So there's just all these big challenges to begin with. And then oftentimes women are not socialized to have these conversations about money. And so we're made to feel shamed if we ask for more. You know, we have weird conversations about like how we spend our money. There's a lot of judgment there. So I think that, you know, I'm trying to take away some of those taboos and make it more comfortable and make it fun and make it interesting. And it also tends to be like so jargony and like I feel like there's a barrier to entry that doesn't need to exist. Mm. And that goes for like male or female, you know. I just think in general, personal finance advice should be more conversational and easier to understand and access.
I went to play pickleball. This is going to connect, I promise. I went to play pickleball with a female friend, and we decided we'd go from intermediate to advanced. Advanced was male-dominated, super intense, and they were like not having any fun. And I asked her, honestly, is this like what your world is like? And she said, 100%. She's a banker by background, walking into a male-dominated room. So there is lots that women can do to advocate for themselves, to you know, utilize their agency and all that. But what's the role for men in order to make the world more accommodating and more welcoming to women as it relates to personal finance?
That's a really great question. I think, you know, a big piece of it is just making sure women are part of the conversation. Are they at the table? Are you advocating for them to have fair pay? I remember many years ago, I had a conversation with a man and he was in charge of hiring two entry-level reporters and he had a certain amount of money to split between them. And he started offering them both like, you know, the same salary and the woman took it. And the young man asked for 10% more. And because he had negotiated the budget the way he was able to give that man 10% more. And he didn't go back to that woman and offer her more either. And that always really stuck with me. I think that, you know, when you're in charge of hiring, if you have these situations where you can be more transparent and say, you know, actually you should ask for 10% more. I've got 10% more in the budget for you. Yeah. Let me help you.
And or the guy doesn't get 10% because you can't do it across the board.
Yes, exactly.
And going back to this experience,
you give them both 5%. Sorry.
Sure. Going back to this experience with pickleball, I said, I'm a gay dude, but I'm a dude. I wake up and I put myself in advanced pickleball, whether it's merited or not. Whereas my friend is like, oh no, I put my, and she's a better player than I am. Mm-hmm. So there's a starting point at which there really is, and I'm sure the psychologists and sociologists have quantified this, that we greet the day very, very differently.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, it's interesting that you're talking about that advanced pickleball and saying that the medium one was more fun. I think
so much more fun.
So much more fun.
Like a piece of me is like, well, why can't we have, but like, why can't we be good pickleball players playing moderately because it's more fun? Like, you know, it doesn't always have to be. I tend to sort of live in a bubble. My friends tease me sometimes because I like to surround myself with women, and most of the people that I talk to and experts I tap are women on purpose because it's more fun. And I hope that even though I do that, that doesn't mean that I'm like, you know, missing out on experiences or something like that. So no. I think, you know, it's okay for women to think about money differently than men. We don't have to be the same men. We can have different values and approach it differently. And, you know, even if we choose to be like less risk adverse, I think it's just like being aware and making those decisions with clarity.
You're time traveling. It's 5 years into the future. You look back and say, wow, I am so proud of what the purse accomplished in that time. What would be some examples of accomplishments you are proud of?
Oh, I mean, you know, it's really interesting that you ask that. When I was an editor at Refinery 29, and while I was there, I was very, very into this idea of like salary transparency and talking about money. And I think, you know, it's been 5 years since then, and you see the conversations changing in so many ways. And I think that there's still a lot of work to do. And I imagine like 5 years in the future, like it's even more comfortable for women to talk about money. And we see like big shifts in the pay gap, like it starts closing, and like really great things, like there's better access to childcare in this country that's more affordable. And you know, I would love a lot of people to read the purse. That would be awesome.
That would be great too.
That would be great. Yes.
And maybe you could have some guys unload on their purse.
I think I would definitely host some men sharing what's inside their purse. Yes. As long as, you know, men tend to be a little more tight-lipped about these things. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still apologize about my man purse, and it's mostly socially acceptable and very practical. Very
I'm sure. Practical. It's very practical.
Lindsay, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Bruce. This was so much fun.
Lindsay Stanbury is the founder of The Purse, and we hooked her in to talk about her In The Purse series, which is so great. It's what she actually has women open up their handbag and talk about what's inside it. But what I really value was these broader conversations we have about gender and money and the things that we can do. Ah, men, step up to push for more equality in this world.